Every Sunday night, 7:30 Eastern Time, 45 minutes. Strengthen your skills, meet newbies and veterans in the fields. Let's crack data science interview at Clubhouse. Hi, is that your first time to join us?
Yeah.
Welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself briefly?
I'm new on Clubhouse, and more importantly, I would like to know if you all have the book in your hands.
Yeah, we actually already started it 3 times, and if you really want to join us, I can share with you all the materials. But what I need is first. If after today's session, if you are really want to join, let me know, and then I can send, and then you may send me your email so I can share with you the book and other related materials.
Other related materials. I have zero previous knowledge in machine learning, so. I don't know if I can catch up with you guys.
No problem. But yeah, you can just audit today. And then after today, if you think you can catch up with us, then let me know and I'll send you the materials, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So feel free to share your email address in the chat on the Clubhouse so Joseph can grab it. Also, if you haven't joined our credit data science WeChat group yet, you can also share your chat and we will add you in our group.
Okay, but I still need to consider it. I can download the hand on the machine learning. Is it from
give you some background. We just started to read this book, Hands on Machine Learning. It's the book. We have some resources. Once you share your email address, Joseph will share the book and the resources with you. You are welcome to either listen to us tune in anytime or during our discussion. We open every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern Time. And if you do not have any background, it's totally fine because this book is pretty, I would say it's a front to end, end to end, will give you a high level understanding about machine learning. Good to know. And I also learn a lot more details from it. Yeah.
Thanks for the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem, no pressure. And once you join our group, you will find more information about our Clubhouse group notification.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for joining today's discussion, Joseph. You can start to lead the discussion now.
Okay. So I'm not sure if I can finish the chapter 2 today. I'm trying my best. But this is really actually a very comprehensive end-to-end machine learning project. So we want to cover as much as we can. But if not, maybe we can left for the next time. Okay, so for this, for Lin, who joined us new, just a big background that we are reading the book called Hands-on Machine Learning with Scikit-learn and TensorFlow. Let me see, you asked me like the edition. This is the first edition, and it's in 2017. And this is one of the most popular machine learning book, and it's focusing mostly on the hands-on projects. So we are not only just reading the book, but also I will share you the GitHub, and you can probably try these all the projects using the Python codes they published on GitHub at your convenient time. All right, so let me see. Hold on. So last time we have started the end-to-end machine learning project, chapter two, working with the, we have covered the first several sections, like looking at the big picture, get the data, discover and visualize the data to gain insights. Before I continue, is there any leftover questions? Because I know last time that Eva actually asked a very good question, like how to deal with the not normal distributed data. And we are talking about like transform methods, right, Eva?
My question last time is, we see in the data preparation step, usually we will transform those features, those numerical features, and to make them normally distributed. My question is, what's the reason why we should do it?
Right. Yeah, you actually, I think a more theoretical question than that. So why do we need to transform them into the normal? So that is actually, I posted in the Google group, and I'm not sure if you guys have a chance to read that. It's actually from a book called Introduction to Machine Learning. And the authors discussed that if you want, you can also try to read that book, because I found that book is also very helpful. For me, I'm actually reading both the Hands-on Machine Learning book and the Introduction to Machine Learning book. I found that they are complementary to each other. And in many questions, maybe in that book, Introduction to Machine Learning will be more giving more specific answers than in hands-on machine learning, because this book to me is more practical. It's focusing more on pro coding, but that book is more on theory. Back to your question, actually, I think it's more because many of the models assume normal distribution, and also the linear models, especially regression model, Lasso. That's what Li Qi mentioned, right? In his model, like Lasso, also need the transformation to normal, because they assume that the data are normalized, the features are normal distributed. Okay, so if you don't have any add-on on that, then we can start to today's, because today I have a lot of things to discuss. First of all, I think that we have already visualized the data before we want to clean the data. We want to visualize and see how the data look like. For example, we can use the data.info or data.describe to see the distribution, the median, mean, maximum, minimum, all these basic info. A better way is to use the histogram for each of the individual feature, and see how they are distributed, right? And then you can see whether they are normally distributed or not. If not, then we can use different methods to normalize it. Okay, so now this time we also want to check is the correlation. And correlation, I think, is a very important fundamental concepts in machine learning and also in statistics. So correlation coefficient, also called the Pearson's R, is to represent, it's a value between negative 1 to 1 to represent the correlation between two variables. Let's say X, variable X and a variable Y, and you may check Wikipedia or whatever. The formula of correlation coefficient is actually the S XY over SX times SY. Right, so I don't want to get too much into the theoretical details, but the correlation coefficient, it's or Pearson's R, is as what the book has shown, is a linear relationship. it can capture only, I would say, it can capture only linear relationship between two variables. So if this one, it means they're positively correlated in a line slope with positive slopes. If it is negative one, it's a line with negative slope. And if it is between like 0.8, 0.4, or negative point, negative 0.4, there are scattered dots as shown in the figure 2-14, that it's scattered dots, but you can see that if you regress that, you will see it's also a line. So that's why the correlation, the Pearson's R is a linear relationship. However, in figure 2-14, on the last row, you may see some very interesting patterns like the UFO pattern, those like very interesting, like sign. The first one is like a sinusoidal wave. That is a very clear pattern, but it shows zero. That means that does it mean that they're not correlated at all? To be honest, no, because they actually show nonlinear relationship between X and Y. However, that nonlinear relationship cannot be captured by Pearson's R. But there are other correlation coefficients. I don't remember the names, but if you Google it, you may find other correlation coefficients to capture the nonlinear relationships. Okay, so go ahead.
And that is by ranking, right? Compared to the Pearson. Another one is evaluate the correlation for the ranking in both variables.
Okay.
Just share some thoughts. You could add more details if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, of course, yeah. All right, so for this project, we are just using the Pearson's R and then to plot the scatter matrix on figure 2-15. You can see that those scattered dots are showing, they are clustered together more. If you look at the main diagonal, right, there must be one because your variable X to variable X, they're always correlation one. Actually, it cannot be called correlation because there's only one variable to itself. Correlation happens only with two variables. So we are more focusing on the off main diagonal plots. And
are you going to talk?
Yes.
Yeah, I see that. Turn on the phone. Sorry about that. Yeah, Joseph, keep going. Sorry.
Okay, actually, we see Mahdi is coming. So,
hello. Thank you very much. I'm so sorry I interrupt you. Actually, I'm a little out of context. Exactly which part of the book is reviewing by you? My name is. The book is in front of me, and I can't follow. I can't find the topics that you're talking about them.
We are reading the book called Hands On Machine Learning with Sign Kit Learn, and we are actually a book club. We are talking about chapter 2 of Hands On Machine Learning with Scikit-learn and TensorFlow.
Chapter 2 is the end-to-end machine learning project. I think page, Joseph, would you mind to share which page are you on now?
40 or 47.
47?
We are on page 57.
57?
57.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So we are talking about correlation. For a while, maybe we can move forward since correlation is pretty basic for machine learning.
Okay. So for that scatter matrix, you may see that the median income and the median house value are correlated. That's more strong correlation with other variables. And then if you zoom out, you can see there are some of the called data quirks on the median income versus median house value. And I just want to ask you guys a question. Why that we want to remove these data quirks, like the horizontal line? If you guys look at the figure 2-16, median income versus median house value, and you might see that some of the horizontal lines present in that figure. And the author mentioned that if we want to proceed, we might want to try removing these corresponding data quirks.
Is that okay? Are you talking about the page 58
and figure 2-16? And on that page, on that figure, you see there are some horizontal line. Those dots are like a horizontal line.
Dash 16 or 6?
2-16.
1-6.
Medium. Figure 2-16, median income versus median house value.
And scatter plot from data, yeah?
Yeah.
My question is why that author suggests you to remove the horizontal line? Why?
Because you can clearly see the median house value have been kept through this horizontal line. So it's good to remove it to get the better correlation metrics.
Someone called Manika Gold has something to say. Should I invite him to speak?
Yeah, invited.
Hi, Manika. Can you? Are you coming to join our book club?
Yeah. Actually, I'm currently also in the page 58 of hands-on machine learning. I just heard what you have described here, like median income versus median house value. So I guess the value your issue was like, what was that line? Correct.
Sorry, I can't hear you very clearly. Can you repeat your sentence?
Hello, is it clear now?
Yes, go ahead.
Your concern was, why is that line? That is a correlation plot, but why is the a strong line over 5,000 or like 5 lakhs line, correct?
We are asking why the author wants to remove the horizontal lines on figure 2-16. Okay, anyway, I think Eva just captured the answer. Because if you look at those horizontal line means, let me just share with you the answer. So horizontal line actually means that your median income your y-axis, your median house value is not sensitive to your median income. So if your median income is 0 or it's 14 or 16, your median house value is always 500k or 300k, 350k. So it's insensitive, and that means there's no correlation at all between these two. So you want to remove those horizontal lines.
Okay.
We can tell that the horizontal lines data are paired or out of the context of data. Is it true?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
I told that is it possible that we can tell the horizontal lines data are paired? Is it true or not?
Are paired?
Yeah, paired data.
The pair. What do you mean by pair?
My means is if your data is out of
the average. Data you're talking about, the medium house value or medium income?
It's actually median. The points that have 500,000 data in medium house value, the points that have 500 medium house value, they compose a horizontal line. Yes, is it true?
Actually, we have covered that already. So I don't want to stay for this question for too long. If you want to, you may post something on later. We have to move forward.
Okay, it's no problem. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you would like to join our LinkedIn group, please feel free to leave your LinkedIn profile info in the chat. I will add you later on. If you do not have weeks, yeah, go ahead, Joseph. We only have 20 minutes. Maybe we can move faster.
Okay. So, yeah, actually, because our book club is open to new people, right? But we also assume everybody already have read this chapter because we posted the chapters to read for this week. So supposedly we are just trying to summarize in a high level at this moment that we are not like reading together line by line. We are just trying to cover the high level, the key points of this chapter. Next time, I hope everybody who join us can already at least read this chapter before so we can discuss it more efficiently. Okay, so next we are trying to cover is the experimenting with attribution combinations. Actually, this attribute combination we have touched lightly last time, so this time we can just cover more quickly. Some of the features like total rooms, total bedrooms, a population we mentioned is not very informative, and they are not correlated to the medium house income, medium income. So the author, based on their experience, creating some new features, right? This one called rooms per household is the total room divided by the households. The bedrooms per room is the total rooms by total room, total bedrooms over the total rooms, and the population per household is population over households. Okay, after this, taking the ratio, you can see that the rooms per household have 0.2 correlation. And the bedrooms per room is negative 0.26, which is more correlated to the target.
Thank you. I have a question here. So, or maybe just a point to bring out. The correlation is 0.2. It does not necessarily mean it's strong correlation. But I guess here, there is no feature really have strong correlation with the target variable. So this feature generated by the user, by the author, has a higher correlation compared with other features.
You're right. Actually, because I think the author wants to convey this information. Okay. After the transformation, based on your gut feeling, right? you can tell that if people have let's say the bedrooms per room, okay? If you have a larger house, you normally have more the ratio of the bedroom per room per house, actually total rooms, right, will be lower because you will have many other rooms. So the bigger your house, the more expensive they are. So this is very intuitive. So they also just want to tell us that, okay, if you can build some, create some feature that can capture the house size, for example, then because we know that bigger house is more expensive. So if you can create some feature to capture the size of the house, you may have more correlation, higher correlation, either positive or negative. Right, that's what they can say. But I agree, bedrooms per room, that feature is not a strong correlation index. It's only -0.26. And also room per household is not good. But based on our gut feeling or our common sense, if you have per family, you have 10 rooms, for example, definitely you have a bigger house, right? And then you will have very expensive. If your family have only like 4 or 5 rooms, then it's very it's much cheaper. Okay, so they also actually said this is also an iterative process, right? You may come up with some new features which can better represent it, to better correlate your house price. It's up to you, and it's an iterative process. That's actually the beauty of machine learning. It can be a never-ending process, right? When you have more experience on this project and the more understanding of the of this feature, what they really mean, then you can create actually more features, and then there may be some feature can have very high correlation. Okay, so that is the prepare of the data for machine learning algorithms. From page 59 to 60, I would say these you may I don't want to cover too much because they are very like data cleaning. They are very detailed, and then they also already give you all the options to, for example, fill the missing data. Right, you can fill whatever either the median or the data or other numbers, or either drop it. So these data cleaning, I will leave you to read it. I don't want to cover all these things, but they are very important for before you build your model.
Just one small thing to add on. A lot of machine learning model does not handle missing value. So we must find a way to fill those known value, either drop the columns with a lot known value or drop the rows record. Or we can do some imputation to fill in with median or with zero, whatever you feel most comfortable with. Thank you, Joseph. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Eva, for your comment. All right, so let's see how to handle the text and categorical attribute. There are also some data preparation step, right? So because not only, as Eva said, many machine learning models cannot handle missing values, and also many machine learning algorithms cannot handle string or non-numerical values. So how do we convert non-numerical values, like text values, into numericals? Here they also provided some way, like label, like the one hot encoder, and some other methods like label encoder. And again, those things are very intuitive and very built-in functions. You just call them. And also you may use customs informers, like what the author said. It defines several functions to customize the the transformation. So basically you are trying to convert them into numerical values. Okay. comments.
Yes. Here, some audience might not understand what means to convert categorical variables to numerical. Typically, it will become a binary value, 1 or 0 for each level in this category. And each level of the categorical variable will become a new column. The new column value will be binary 1 or 0. So as we use the one-hot encoding. And also, if we are using the regression or logistic regression, we need to make sure we drop one level of the categorical variables after we won't do the one-hot encoding in order to avoid the information leaking. Yeah, thank you. Joseph, go ahead.
Oh, wow, this is great. I don't know. I actually haven't heard the information leaking. So can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. So how do we explain the categorical variable, especially for regression, right? If 1 and 0, it means, for example, 1 is the, we have one column beginning as gender, and then it's a when it's female or male, then we transform it into two columns. One is male, another is female. In this case, actually those two columns come complementary to each other, and they cover the full information. So if we remove one of the column, for example, female, we only have male, and the 1 and the 0 for this male column already covered all the information to identify the gender of this target variables. So that's why we do not want to have both columns included in one data set. Does that make sense?
Oh, so you said you only have one column called is male, yes or no, instead of have male and female.
Yes.
Two columns.
Yes, because the one column already cover all the information. The gender will be either male or female.
Okay.
The base data set, for example, if we have male, the 0 will be the base to compare with, and the 1 is we know the gender of this target variable is male.
Okay, yeah, that works for I would say many occasions, right? Even you have three options, you can code it as 1, 2, 3 in one column instead of three columns with 0 in one, which will be more condensed, right?
It depends. So if you, it's categorical variables, you have three levels. My understanding, at the end of the day, you also need to convert it into three columns first through one-hot encoding, and each column will be binary values, 1 or 0, and drop one column. Though that one column will be the base we compared with. If we just convert the categorical variable into numerical variable 1, 2, 3, the model might interpret it into the numerical information, like 1 is lower, 2 is medium, 3 is high, but it doesn't, it sometimes does not necessarily true to convey the information of the level, unless, for example, we have the column called income, and then we have three levels in this categorical income, maybe income band, categorical variable, like low income, medium income, high income, and then we convert it into 1, 2, 3. That will make sense.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you for that. And also, if you have, can you also elaborate those on the information leaking topic. Like after your one-hot encoding, you want to eliminate the baseline column. Can you elaborate that on point us to the article material that we can further read on it? You can also post it so we can learn more on this topic. This is very useful information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Oh, and also if you're using the random forest or XGBoost, it might be different story because the random forest randomly selected the features for each forest or for each tree. So it might be different story, but for to be safe, it's good to drop one column. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thank you, Joseph.
All right. So next one is the topic for the feature scaling on page 65. I would say min-max scaling and standardization scaling is focused here, but there are more methods. So we are mostly in this case we are using the min-max scaling for this topic. For min-max scaling, it's actually, I would say, we are subtracting the, converting the, first of all, why we need feature scaling, okay? Because many of the machine learning algorithms doesn't perform well if your input features have very big different scales. For example, some features between 0 to 1, but some other features are like thousands or even hundreds of thousands or even millions, right? If you have those huge differences, the range of the numerical value have huge difference among various features, then your machine learning algorithm will not perform well. It won't perform best. So the best way is to convert each of the feature into a relatively comparative range, right, between 0 to 1. Okay, so min-max scaling or standardization tries to achieve that. So they will try to convert each of the feature in between 0 to 1. But the difference, I would say, is min-max scaling, you first subtract the mean value, and then divide by the subtract the maximum by the minimum, or subtract the minimum value and then divide it by the range, right? Maximum value divided by minimum value. Okay, and the standardization is to subtract the mean and divide by the variance. All right, so that you may try Google it for the differences between these two, but they're quite useful, quite common. And I don't think that we should cover the transformation pipeline because they are basically for code reuse purpose. It's just a combination of all these data cleaning steps into one huge block. Using the pipeline, the scikit-learn pipeline package. It will make things much easier and more smooth, so you won't see a lot of those manual coding there, but using the pipeline will ease your data transformation and cleaning steps. Okay, so...
Mm-hmm. It's almost the end of this chapter. I would like to chime in a little bit here. So in real world, the practice we usually have is to code the model and do all the data exploration in Jupyter Notebook through the pandas. But if once we want to put the model into production, we would prefer to convert everything into NP error like here to build up the pipeline instead of use Panda because it it's very time consuming, computational consuming to use Panda. So it is one thing you need to keep in mind. Thank you, Joseph. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Are you talking about pandas?
Yeah, I'm talking about pandas. Pandas is helpful when we build the proof of concept model, but usually, at least in my practice, in our company, oh yeah, we will use NP array.
I'm sorry, what is NP
error? NPy? Is that called NUMPY?
NumPy, okay. Yeah, but NumPy is like pandas. They are pandas.
Yeah.
NumPy is handling only each of the elements is the same data type, or mostly the same pattern.
Yeah.
Right. Pandas is actually, I think you can use pandas because it's very it's versatile, and you can put in different data types in data frame. It's handy too.
Yeah. What I say is pandas is handy in prototype or proof of concept locally, but if we want to put the model into production, usually we do not use pandas. It does not work well in production environment because the computational time is very high.
I don't know whether everybody have the same, but when I was working on the pandas project, I found that pandas is actually pretty fast and efficient because pandas itself has many of the function to improve its efficiency.
I'm sorry, Joseph. Is pandas are proper for big data issues or problems? Because
yeah,
as I remember,
yeah.
The pandas uses very RAM and so you should provide many RAM for your problem or for your program. And I think it's better to use some other solutions such as Hadoop or their Apache Spark solutions. What's your idea?
Yeah, for your big data, I would say Hadoop or Spark or whatever it is definitely working, right? For pandas, I would say it's just for smaller data size than really big data, like gigabyte or terabytes of data. But pandas itself is not like limited by data size. You can handle big data too. But if you really have a terabytes of data, right? Well, people, you will say using other machine learning platform like using PySpark or other packages.
Yeah, for the time being, Joseph, would you like to wrap up? Do you have anything more would like to share for this chapter?
I think we haven't covered, we just covered the prepared data for machine learning, okay? We haven't got into the main course. Main dish for this chapter is actually selecting and training a model and fine-tuning your model and launch, monitor, and maintain your system. So I would say we want to cover these three because these are the very important part of this chapter next time. Okay? Is that okay?
Yes, sounds good. Yeah, we want to respect everyone's time. So for our clubhouse, every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time is when we meet up, and usually we keep our clubhouse for 45 minutes. So please do join us next Sunday. And if you haven't get a chance to have this book, I have the link shared on top. You can find this book anywhere. Don't need to go by my link. I just randomly find it somewhere. Yeah, get your book and leave your information in our chat. Your email address, or you would like to join our LinkedIn group, can share your profile as well. Or you have WeChat info will also help. We will add you in our group, and you can keep contact with us.
Yeah. Just one add on. So if you guys feel this is good, then you can commit to join at least, I would say, two or three times or even more. Then I will send you all the resources. Or if you just come here to audit, or just come here for listening, and you don't have commitment, and then I think it may not be necessary to share with you all the resources, because next time you're not coming and you're not able to catch up if you missed several times. So we're just welcoming people to drop by, but we're not trying to, because we want this to be continuous for everyone's, to honor everybody's time. I hope that we have people that can commit to join every time and then to follow the through. Because right now we are just started, but the more times we go, we will go into more deeper and deeper. And people, if you're just coming halfway, and then you're not actually knowing what we are talking about because you haven't joined the previous classes, or not classes, but previous discussions. So you it won't be any benefit to you too, because you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Joseph. For anyone who haven't joined us before, we have replay in under our Clubhouse. You can feel free to listen to the previous recording. And also feel free to join us anytime in the future. It's your last time to leave your email address to us. Please take the last 1 minute to leave your email address. We will send out the follow-up information soon. Okay? Okay. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. Joseph,
thank you very much, Joseph, okay. Eve, Lena, and Carlos.
Thank you so much, Joseph and Eva, for the wonderful night. Really appreciate, and I hope to join you guys next Sunday.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to keep the conversation. See you next Sunday. Have a good time.
See you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most. Yeah, just gotta keep going.